And now, the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to our very special WrestleMania play button, which everybody seems to have taken to calling it, WrestleMania 31 Podcast. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hello!
And Mr. Sunny from NeoGAF.
Sunny Flowers. Hi, everybody. It's me, Sunflower. It's good to be here. I'm glad you guys reached out to me without having any idea whether or not I'm worth a damn. Well, but that means that honestly, you guys care about my opinion.
This WrestleMania seem any worse than it is. I mean, WWE has done a hell of a job with that. So, and I feel like that's just showing my hand of what I think of this build so far. But
we'll see.
You might be the most positive person we know that is knowledgeable about wrestling. So inviting you might be a good idea.
I would also say, and this is just a minor pet peeve of mine, I had the same problem with WrestleMania 25 and 26, but because of how WWE tends to think their audience is stupid, this year is technically the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania, but they sold last year as the 30th anniversary, so they can't do that again. So that's just a really...
They've always had a problem with, like, the idea of anniversaries. They always do it wrong. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine, because they already sold WrestleMania 25 as the 25th anniversary, and it's like, no, that's the 24th year of the show. It's the 25th one, but it's the 24th anniversary. And, again, I think they just think their fans are stupid, so they see 25, it must be the 25th anniversary. And that's not how anniversaries work. You don't start from the day you get married as your first anniversary.
Even though it feels like it. I'm sorry.
even though this is the 30th anniversary, a lot of people, you know, like you mentioned, they kind of just view it as 31. Like, the 30th anniversary is not a big deal because 30 was last year and that's what we called it. So how was this WrestleMania going to possibly measure up to last year's, which was probably one of my favorite WrestleManias? I'd have to say it's probably definitely a top five. It was a wonderful show, WrestleMania 30. Yeah.
That was really good. I was actually surprised by how good it ended up being,
it
to be honest.
It was probably one of the best ones since 19 or 17. We've had an era of, I think, really good to good to great WrestleManias, but there hasn't been that many amazing standout ones. And I feel part of the problem, and I think this is really the culmination of it with WrestleMania 31, is them just kind of invested in the past more than the future. Which is going to be really odd to say when we get to the main event. But to kind of kick off the show, and no pun intended since this is actually called the kickoff show, but the Fatal 4-Way for the Tag Team titles, which is the Usos, Los Matadores, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Cesaro, and Tyson Kidd.
Another time the World Tag Team titles are on the pre-show. It's like, shame really, right? I remember, like, was it like shortly before WrestleMania 30 where everyone was like, man, the tech division is so awesome these days, and look at it now.
Well, I feel like the tag division, and this is kind of something that I think is problematic with the WWE in general when it comes to WrestleMania, they tend to focus on stuff outside of the year, and then when it gets to WrestleMania, they're like, crap, we have to put everybody on the card. So they don't necessarily care about rhyme or reason. Like, I don't really think there's been a major tag team title feud since, like, the Hardys, Dudgies, and Edge and Christian did it at WrestleMania 16 and 17.
Not particularly. I can't think of any either. I do think that the tag team division is kind of hampered because week after week on more than one show on Raw and SmackDown, you've got a very limited pool of different tag teams because we don't have any jobbers out there. Yeah. They always are facing other competent tag teams. You've seen all of these matchups. I've seen every iteration of this that I can think of. And are the Usos even going to be in this? Didn't Jay get a shoulder injury? What's going on with that?
I mean, they announced them on the show, so I don't know if they'll be limited in the ring or what, but they did announce them.
Since it's four-way, he can kind of stay out of it a bit and not aggravate his injury further, which might be, I mean, he might be good enough to go in there and do a few moves and just kind of play it safe, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And to kind of, you know, to your point about them having this combination of matches, they already built this match up by having all these teams fight each other. And it's like, yeah, we've seen this match. And, I mean, is there any doubt that Cesaro and Kid wins this?
You know, they probably will, because it is throwaway, and they don't have a real big program around these belts. That's how I feel, at least. I'm sure Cesaro and Kid will end up retaining. Hopefully it kicks off something, though.
Yeah, I would let them win as well. I mean, also, yeah. I just think also out of these tag teams, I just think they have the best one.
Well, I feel like they're also, I mean, the Usos have had the title for pretty much most of last year. And I feel like they've kind of been through all of this. Los Matadores were literally just kind of bumped up to be anything for this feud. And yeah. New Day has really just floundered in their role. I don't even know if they're hero faces anymore.
But it's weird because they put them against faces, they put them against heels. There's no rhyme or reason to how they book the New Day. So nobody knows what to do with them. They try to clap and get people to come along with them, but how do people really feel? Like it's really hard to say because they don't have a very particular character of their own that they can call her. Right now, they're just a few guys that come out and clap together and say New Day, and that is the extent of their development. We gotta go somewhere with these guys if they're going to be something.
I can tell you how most people feel about them. Indifferent.
And that's really the worst possible thing for them to be.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day.
And to be honest, that's probably also how most people feel about this tag division right now, and how I probably feel about this title match. It's like some teams are not really interesting. We, like I said, we have seen those matchups, and they are just trading loss and wins between each other like every week. It's like,
yeah, it's a shame.
Cares?
It's a shame. And they keep saying, you know, well, NXT is going to bring all sorts of tag teams up. We're still waiting, and by the time they bring a new one up, one of these tag teams is going to have to break up or be gone, because that's just the way the world works.
Or they end up being dropped out like the Ascension.
Yeah,
poor guys. Really, poor Ascension. They deserve better. Why aren't they in this?
Like, whoever wins, where do you put them after WrestleMania?
Who knows? I mean, at least with a four-way, you have the opportunity to have one team cost the other team a victory, or to have some kind of alliance in some way. So at least there's that opportunity, but I don't think we'll see it. I don't think they're planning that far ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm going in order of how this is posted. I assume this is not going to be the opener, but Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker.
The Undertaker!
Remember when people were really excited about Undertaker matches?
And then he lost.
Yeah, I honestly speaking, killing the streak kind of, like Bray has done a really great job with his promos, but the whole mystique around Undertaker WrestleMania matches was always like, can this person beat him? Now it's not necessarily, like, they're not even building this up, like, does Undertaker still have it? It's just Bray Wyatt wants to apparently steal the Undertaker's special powers.
Hey, and I'm fine with that. And I still like the idea that Bo Dallas is in Bray Wyatt's corner, and the powers of the Undertaker totally miss Bray and go into Bo, and then Bo's this crazy guy. But we know that's not going to happen. That would be amazing.
That's some Chikara-esque booking, but I would also love it.
It would be wonderful. But I don't see any reason why the Undertaker should win this, unless we're building, and I was talking about this a little bit earlier, if the Undertaker's going for a retirement story, not just one match and he's done, but if he's going to go through the rest of the year, you know, maybe retire at Survivor Series where he debuted, Bray Wyatt's a great guy to carry a long 6-month feud with, who I think could bring out the best in the Undertaker. They could take their time. Nothing else is going on with Bray at the moment. I mean, his schedule's nice and clear. If the Undertaker wants to do a retirement angle and put over Bray like that, sure, let's go for it. Kick it off with a loss at Mania.
I mean, doing that with Bray is probably the best option you have. I mean, kind of having this similar character and all. I just don't know, would The Undertaker in that case, like, actually show up on Raw? I mean, when is the last time he has done that?
a year ago. he chokes Sam Brock.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think that Undertaker, after last year, he probably took that criticism to heart, and he's going to put over Bray like $1 million, and Bray is going to bust his ass.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I
want to see him lose again at Mania, because remember, like, they asked the fans for a good half an hour after that loss last year. I don't know if fans want to see Undertaker lose again at WrestleMania. Even though from a storytelling standpoint, it makes sense. The streak is over. Like, you don't necessarily need to protect him anymore.
Although you could do the retirement angle with him winning this time.
Well,
and
I mean,
then Bray going out to really destroy him over the year.
Yeah. It could go either way, but I still think that having Undertaker do a retirement angle, I think that might be too much, and he's probably too tired for that.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, I would imagine, because I think WrestleMania is in Texas next year, right?
Yeah.
So I can see him pushing it and hanging on for one more year and doing his retirement. So if that's the case, they can have him move to Bray and then have his story be like, has the Undertaker lost it? He has, like, if he does not win this match, it's over for him. Like, his, but I feel like, I feel like it just cheapens the streak if he uses 2 years in a row, because you built him up as winning 21 and then he goes 0-2. It's kind of weird. I mean, this is intriguing because it can go either way. Unlike most of the other matches on this show. Next up, and this is one of the strangely booked ones, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton.
This build up I completely didn't understand. Like, Randy coming back, and I thought like he would be all over the authority right from the start, and then they had all this bullshit with him being with them and then turning on him, although everyone already know he hated them, and then having him beat up Rollins basically completely and giving away what we wanted to see at WrestleMania on an episode of Raw that was just really stupid.
I think this is throwaway. I think that the idea is to take the focus off of Seth Rollins, so when he cashes in Money in the Bank, nobody expects it.
Well, I feel like he has to win this match, but to Martin's point, I thought this was very strange, because they had the handicap match yesterday, and, well, during Raw, and one of the things Michael Cole was like, Randy Orton finally gets his hands on Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I'm like, did you miss the 10-minute beatdown he gave him 2 weeks ago? Randy Orton got his hands on him pretty damn bad already.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. Like, the whole setup as well was like, oh, you're going to fight me to fight me at WrestleMania. Like, I don't get that at all. Why would Seth Rollins, the heel, give Randy Orton what he wants anyhow, even though it was a quote-unquote setup?
However, any way you look at it, it's probably going to be a lot of fun to watch these two go for a full match at WrestleMania. I think it's going to possibly steal the show. It's going to be fantastic. Because Randy Orton's wonderful, and Seth Rollins is amazing. It's going to be great.
Not to take anything away from these guys, just that the build-up was like total horse shit, but
yeah,
they will probably do a really good match. I have no doubt about that.
But and I think this might. I think to me, this has the potential to be match of the night as far as like matches go.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like this could have also been done at any other pay per view, and it wouldn't have felt. I think because the build doesn't make it feel like anything special. It was so backwards, and this is something that actually comes up in a few matches. Like, there's nothing that Seth Rollins really got over on Randy Orton this entire feud. And I think that goes with a lot of these feuds where the heels don't really have the heat going into WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of the faces getting over, Sting versus Triple H.
Which, I know what Sonny will say, but I'm still going to say it. I would have been more excited and it would have felt more special if it was Sting versus Undertaker.
I disagree, but that's okay. Not a big deal. I really like the idea of Triple H because I know Triple H can carry Sting, and not that Sting necessarily needs carrying, but he is an older guy. He's been around for a while. I think Triple H can work best with his limitations and can bring out the best in him, as opposed to Undertaker, where they both possibly could run into the same problem of being worn the hell out like halfway through the match.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, and I completely agree. This will probably be the better match, but I still feel like having those two meet at WrestleMania would have felt special.
The only thing I would have feared is that neither one of them would have been on Raw, so it's a bunch of video packages for a month and a half. I would also say this was a strange build. One, Triple H invoking WCW, which at this point has been dead for 14 years. And then after spending a month and a half saying, like, oh, Sting is coming to avenge WCW's thing, it's like, that's stupid. Why would I do that? And I'm like, okay, so you wasted 2 months on this. And he's like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah, that was kind of strange, but I don't know.
It's kind of a hard storyline to bring up because you can't stretch it out that long because it really doesn't have that much weight in the first place. Like,
yeah,
you were in WCW and I would like to get rid of you, and that's really all it is. But they've done a good job with that because whenever Sting gets there, man, the crowd's hot for him. They love it. This most recent Raw, the go-home show for WrestleMania, they loved Sting's interactions out there. They loved him being in the ring and moving around. And boy, he sure looked like he was into it. And that was awesome. I can't wait.
That was probably the best part of the entire show. I mean, Raw, in that case. That Raw was kind of terrible otherwise.
But yeah, I think they did a good deal with Sting video package a few weeks ago where quote unquote, he was saying that he wasn't here because he was avenging WCW, but he saw how corruption brought down WCW and he was trying to prevent it in the WWE. And that makes sense with the authority storyline. That would have paid better than saying that Sting is here because he's so upset that WWF killed WCW 15 years ago.
Mm.
Especially being that you probably don't want to think about Sting's final years in WCW. You probably don't want to think about the final years of WCW.
Well, I don't think his WCW is nearly as bad as his TNA last few years. I mean,
what TNA? Sting has been missing for 14 years.
it's a lot easier to pretend it's like that. Because, man, I mean, just going off from my memory, because I don't really watch TNA. I see little bits and pieces of it, but no thanks. What's Sting been doing these past few years? Oh, he dressed up like the Joker. He had to hold down and physically restrain a drug-addled Jeff Hardy at a pay-per-view match, and he did that really horrible-looking scorpion deathlock where he couldn't lean back. That's all I have from his TNA years, and that's not really fair, but that, I think the layman's like that.
Was he also the one who had the terrible match with Mick Foley, or was that Ric Flair?
I think that was Flair, but I don't know. It honestly could have been anyone.
Yeah, TNA, where you go for vacation before WWE wants you in the Hall of Fame again. But yes, predictions. I assume this is an easy win for Sting.
Yeah. I would say so.
I can't see any reason for Triple H. And again, this kind of comes back to the whole Undertaker thing. I can't see any reason for Triple H to win unless it's telling a larger story, and I don't think Sting's going to be in it for more than that. I think he's fine with this one match, and it's going to be something special, and that's all we need. I think
also,
that's all we need.
Also, Triple H has no issue losing at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He's got a hell of a streak going himself, doesn't he?
No, he won at 29. He beat Brock.
Oh, okay. But otherwise.
It doesn't matter if you're in a good match on the losing end. You're still in a great match, and he's had that with Bryan, and he's had that with Taker.
Yeah,
and stuff like
absolutely.
That. So,
and to be honest, he has nothing to prove. So if it's in favor of the storyline and stuff, he'll do it.
Yeah, and as he saw with Survivor Series, even if he ends up losing, it doesn't matter for the storyline purposes because they still end up being the same characters. Now, if you want to talk about something that has collapsed since WrestleMania 30, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Poor Andre.
This is kind of terrible. It's like, hey, look at all these geeks. All the guys we have no idea what to do with, and they are kind of terrible for the most part. So, here they are. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah, I think this is just being used strictly to further storylines. I think this is where Miz and Mizdow finally get into it with each other. I really don't know who could possibly win out of these besides Mizdow. I think Mizdow will get the trophy, and the Miz will have a problem with that, and they will have a solid mid-card feud all the way through SummerSlam. And that's all I see for them.
Honestly speaking, the only other person I can see winning this would be Curtis Axel to continue his Axelmania storyline.
Yeah, sure. That would be great.
I would like it, but I don't know if WWE is smart enough to go along with this joke.
Well, think about it. As soon as he's done with this, where does his character go? He has nothing.
Back to nothing where he has been.
Yeah, I was about to say, the problem with that would be, like, this is us thinking about thinking as fans who are concerned with what's going to happen after WrestleMania. Where WWE's like, haha, this is funny. Okay, it's over. Because, I mean, he got dumped by Snoop Dogg yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
So we think, I would also say that probably makes the most sense.
I could also see Miz Dow eliminating the Miz and the Miz getting upset and eliminating him, costing him to win. But yeah, I think Miz and Miz Dow is where, you know, you start going into this battle royal.
Also, I'll be honest, seeing Miz Dow winning something for himself would also be kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only other story, which they dropped really quickly, was Kane versus Big Show.
And who cares?
Apparently WWE cares.
Yeah, they're the only ones.
And Karen is half the battle.
What about whoever is coming from NXT? Who do we expect?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Adrian Neville. Is it just one person, or is it going to be
I think it's one person. They have a tournament during the
show.
If it's
one, it'll probably be Neville. I don't think they're going to go with Finn Balor or anybody who still has a few more months to go down there. Neville's ready. Zayn's ready. I don't think it'll be Zayn, though.
I would probably also expect Neville. Although, what I heard from NXT spoilers this week, I don't know. I could also maybe see them fast-tracking Finn.
Would be nice. But I think it's also a good showcase piece for Neville because he can jump onto lots of people from very high spots in this.
That is true. That is absolutely true. Probably Neville. Earl, what do you think?
It depends because I was thinking of, you know, Neville's and all. And then somebody pointed out, hey, this is a WWE Battle Royal. Do you want to waste a promising NXT talent on a nothing? Like, they get to be on WrestleMania, but you know they won't be the spotlight. They won't be the highlight of the match, and it's a pretty trashy match. So somebody suggested, with Tyler Breeze, and I like that suggestion because he's a heel who could probably, even if he doesn't get much, he can make it work when he goes back to NXT, and I can see him coming up to the main roster and being in like the mid-card title feud easily.
So you mean just to have like a filler guy kind of throwaway, but to introduce them to an audience without him getting over in a big way?
Yeah. Because I feel like that's what's going to happen with the person who's on the show. It's like they won't be the focus, and I don't see them winning. So it would be kind of a waste to introduce like Kevin Owens or Finn Balor or anything like
although
that.
Although they could do a cool thing of like having like the last three guys being Mr., Miz, and the NXT guy. Then Mr. throwing out the Miz. And then have those two phase off at the end. Then the NXT, even if he loses to Miz, though, he would still come out in a great way.
Okay. So, I mean, I think we've given this more conversation than WWE has in a month. I would also say I love the idea of building a battle royal by literally having people in a battle royal toss each other out on Raw last week.
Oh, one more thing. Speaking of NXT, guys. What was up with Raw with these Who's Mr. Robot?
I didn't catch any of that. I completely did not see that.
I said that last week, and I thought it was a commercial for a movie, but it happened more than once. So I assume it's a WWE person.
Yeah. I just by the voice, I don't know if the voiceover was the guy himself, or if it just was a voiceover done by anyone.
Well, I just Googled this, and it says that it's apparently a show that's going to be showing on the USA Network, so it was a commercial.
Oh, okay. Because I saw that and thought, like, is this part of Raw?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's really a horrible idea for Adrian Neville's gimmick.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot, no, please.
Okay, yeah. Then completely ignore what we were just talking about.
Regarding that Battle Royal, though, I also think that Miz now winning gives the wonderful opportunity for Miz to break the trophy, which would be beautiful. Well, not beautiful, but you know what I mean. It would be a very good scene for replays and things like that.
Is that going to be the new tradition that whoever
it always gets broken,
the thing will lose it by having it broken?
You know, I was really disappointed last year that they broke Andre off the top of Cesaro's and Heyman was carrying around a giant Andre. I wish he would have kept doing that because that was great for the 1 week that it happened.
Yeah.
But that was such a weird pairing.
Yeah.
And you would think it would work. A great worker and a great voice, but they just never gelled properly.
There was something missing.
To be honest, the Cesaro Heyman thing was because everyone was kind of expecting Cesaro to turn face.
Yeah, but why? We won't get into that. Well, I guess if we're going to talk about squandered potential, we might as well talk about the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say, I think this is going to be a great match. I think, you know, there's a ton of talent in this. But I also feel like it's just a waste of a ton of talent who could have really had match of the year, easy match of the night contenders, if they did single pairings of, like, half of these wrestlers.
Well, we've got Dolph Ziggler versus R-Truth versus Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper versus Stardust versus Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett. Stardust and Goldust, they never really had any closure to that, so that's kind of weird that Stardust is in here. Daniel Bryan, okay, we'll throw him a bone, I guess, and put him in there. I'm glad Bad News Barrett's going to be in there. I'm sure he's going to do a lot of amazing things. I'm sure Luke Harper's going
to.
Well, and I'm sure Luke Harper's going to kill himself or kill Dolph Ziggler because that's what they do. Ambrose will be fun, and R-Truth is always fun, especially because he pretends to be scared of heights.
Yeah, I have to say, I kind of think all of the guys, including R-Truth, are kind of good. I like all of them. It's just, it's a shame. A couple of these guys could have had, like, real cool, awesome feuds on their own, but WWE just focused way too much on basically having Sting and Triple H and having Reigns look strong.
Yeah, I mean the original idea before Fast Lane was Ziggler versus Bryan. I'm not necessarily sure why they dropped that after they decided Bryan wouldn't be in the main event. That could have been a match of the night contender easily. You know, you could have had even a fatal four-way, Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose, Bad News Barrett, and Daniel Bryan could have been a great match. Now, my problem is the other matches are really fun. But they're a different type of match than you would get if these guys were actually fighting each other. Because it's a bunch of people climbing stuff, falling over, and killing themselves for a secondary title that you haven't treated seriously. And the storyline going into this kind of made it into a running joke.
Yeah, I think like playing hot potato with one of your championships is really dumb and not good build-up for what is supposed to be a meaningful match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's goofy. It's just a little goofy. But when you think about it, you've got R-Truth who acts goofy, Stardust who acts goofy, and Daniel Bryan who looks goofy. Bad News Barrett also, he has that kind of comedic mustache-twirling villain about him, so he fits in that as well. And Luke Harper's scary. Dean Ambrose can be goofy as well. And Ziggler, well, I don't know what to say about him. But I think in a way that kind of storyline fits. Yes?
I was going to say, I think it fits. I think the problem was them doing two different storylines at the same time. Because the other one was that Bad News Barrett couldn't win a match. And that's how pretty much everybody in this match has beaten him at one point or another recently. And that's how they got into this match. And I feel like it's weird to have your champion be an awful champion and then have him not even be a good enough champion to hold onto his belt.
And let's be honest, a build like this probably only means one thing.
Cowbells?
No, but he will retain.
I hope he does. I hope he does. I've always liked Bad News Barrett. I always felt that he got screwed over by injury at the worst possible times. Glad he's going to get a great WrestleMania moment with this. Whether he retains or not really doesn't bother me. Honestly, this title can go to anybody on this list. Anyone who wins this, anyone who's in this match, if they win, I'm actually going to be all right with that because I can see them all as Intercontinental title holders, and they can all do a lot for the belt. Whether they will or not, it's a different story, but I pretty much can't lose with this match. Someone's going to
Speaking, like, three of these guys were the last three Intercontinental Champions, and that hasn't really elevated the belt much. It's not necessary to tell it, because there's been some great people holding the title. It's the booking around it.
Oh, yeah.
The booking is terrible around it, I agree. Also, I don't, but I wanted to disagree a bit with Sonny, because I think, like, you might say, like, they fit the goofy thing, but a lot of these guys also perfectly fit the into a serious match. Like, Brian can totally do a serious thing. He did that last year. Even Bad News Barrett can do a real serious thing, because he's kind of a tough guy.
I would also say the one thing, and I don't really know, I feel like they are purposely just trying to get people to turn against Brian or to kill his momentum, but this whole turd thing is just stupid. Like, for the most part, SmackDown acts like a parallel universe for the WWE. Stuff happens on SmackDown that doesn't really matter if they bring it over to Raw. And, like, the one thing they brought over from Raw in this feud is that Daniel Bryan got called a turd. And they mentioned that last week, and they mentioned it again this week, so they want people to associate him with a turd.
I don't know why. It might just be one of those things where it's like, if you can get through this, you can get through anything, pal. Or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Well, Vince just thinks it's really funny.
Yeah, well, I wish I could tell you more, but I laughed when they called him a turd, and I feel like an idiot because it was funny. I don't know why it was funny. It's like, why would you call him this? That's so stupid.
Because a turd is what you call people when you're five and you can't curse. It's not what you say when you're a grown. It's not what you say when you're a grown adult. It's not what two adults say about somebody. Oh, you turd face. Like, nobody says that as an insult.
It's also probably not what tough guys should say. That probably like 200 pounds muscular dudes.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is they bring it up, but they don't bring it up because it's not Xavier and Ambrose have called him a turd on Raw. It's always Michael Cole. Like, oh, this is the same guy they called a turd on SmackDown. Like, okay, thank you for that. But yeah, I mean, I assume that Brian would win, because it seems, I mean, this is something that I've had an issue with. They did the same thing with The Miz, even though The Miz isn't as important. But if somebody headlines WrestleMania, they should feel important the year after. They shouldn't feel like some afterthought. Because if you want to keep the illusion that headlining WrestleMania is prestigious and being your champion is prestigious, the ex-champions need to remain relevant. And they had him lose to Ziggler twice clean, whatever. But if he does not come out of this with the Intercontinental title, it just seems like this is the guy you built up WrestleMania 30 around, and now you don't have anything for him.
I'm just going to say this. Not that I think that he's on the same level as Bryan in any way, but look at what happened to Miz.
Exactly. and it's like, Miz has his problems, but Miz is a former champion. Miz is a guy who headlined and won at WrestleMania. And the fact that, one, he's in a throwaway battle royal on this show.
Yep.
But if you want to have these titles mean something, your champions have to remain relevant. Like, they mentioned last night when Ziggler and Bryan were fighting that they're both former world champions. And I'm like, that's right, Ziggler has been a world champion. You don't remember that because it never feels like that.
I completely forgot about that.
He's a two-time world champion.
Jesus.
That's so insane because it just seems like ever since he lost that, he had quite the fall from grace because he was hateable, but he was really engaging and he was willing to do all the media appearances. He wanted to be seen, and I just... I think we got the best out of him there. That was probably the best he'll ever be. And from here on out, who knows? But once upon a time, I mean, when he was main eventing Mania, I wasn't mad. I was like, he's really stepping up. This is pretty good. All right.
No, nothing against Ziggler. Ziggler is a good guy. It's, again, all the booking. It's just terrible.
Yeah. And, you know, like, WWE talks about this brass ring, but you get that brass ring, and they're like, oh, we're going to kick you back down to the beginning, and you're going to have to try to climb up. And I have to imagine for a lot of people, it's probably disheartening, where they're like, you know, as hard as we try, as much as we try, we're not going to get past this level.
No,
it's kind of what the ad match is. I mean, it's literally people trying to climb up to grab that brass ring because they, you know.
Vince talked about the whole brass ring thing was disingenuous to begin with. I mean,
we'll get to that.
As we are seeing with Reigns, this is not how things work.
Yeah. Speaking of grabbing the brass ring and secondary titles, the young and up and coming and hungry American icon John Cena takes on the evil, quote unquote, Russian. I always find it like they're honest that he's not Russian. He's just a Russian sympathizer.
Yep.
But Rusev, who they have had to do some jumping jacks to make this feud make sense for them, because like, they were complaining about Rusev holding Cena in the accolade on this week's Raw and talking about how vicious and evil it was. And like, this is how Cena got the match. He already did the same exact thing to Rusev 2 weeks ago. And that's your babyface.
Well, it's hard to say. They shouldn't have thrown this away at Fastlane. They should have just had one match at Mania and figured out someone for Rusev to just blast through. But it's easy to say that because hindsight's 20/20. Real easy to make an assumption like that when, you know, we're not the ones that are actually in charge and making things work. I do think that at Fastlane, having Rusev kick Cena in the balls and then put him in the accolade is reason enough to give them another match, but we'll see what happens. I don't have high hopes for Rusev winning, but he's had a long streak. He's built a great character out of it. I think it's time for the streak to end, and I'm okay with this.
What I'm going to say is WWE has also done a bang-up job with basically making Rusev a face outside of America. Never way, John Cena.
Honestly, there's very little reason not to cheer for Rusev. I mean, he endears himself to people that love wrestling because they see him and they go, oh, wow, this is a guy who is busting his ass. This is a guy who's got this incredible look. Like, this, he's got a look that you don't often see that often. He's very big. He's very functionally strong. Whereas most other people are there for looks. And I don't mean to sound like a complete mark because, oh, he just put out a WrestleMania workout where he said he trains to be strong and not for looks. Don't get me wrong. John Cena's strong as shit. He's a real strong dude. But Rusev has just got that beefy 80s style about him that I just really love and I love seeing. And he's very much a throwback to those days. And there's something that almost everybody can enjoy with Rusev. He doesn't employ too many heel tactics besides kicking someone in the balls. He's happy. He's enthusiastic when he wins. And really, that's all there is to it. But as history shows us, you know, Hulk Hogan did a lot of heel stuff when he was a face. He beat the hell out of the Iron Sheik and slapped him silly just for no good reason. Stuff like that. These kind of things happen.
Pick on Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always the way things have been. So I'm not too surprised, but Rusev is going to get cheered.
Oh, and I think it was a few months ago, JR had an editorial on his blog about, like, why is Rusev a heel? Because he fights for his country, he tends to fight fair, like, aside from the Cena thing, I don't think he's really ever cheated much to win matches. Like, yes, he's taken certain shortcuts, but not, like, outright cheat. Like, yes, Swagger runs into the ring post, that's not his fault.
Oh, and remember, he was also right for not giving Cena the rematch right away, because
he beat him. Like, Cena passed out. Like, that's the problem sometimes with their storyline. It's like, the heels are in the right. Like, Rusev had a legitimate point. Why does Cena deserve a rematch?
Yeah.
And then Cena used heel tactics to get the match, and it's like, they have to spin it and justify it in some way, where Cena is vicious and fired up. But when Rusev does it, it's like he's cowardly and heinous. And it's like, yeah, okay, but it's the same exact thing. But yes, I did enjoy that his beatdown on Cena this week. Not because I have any problem with Cena, but it's nice to kind of have one heel going into Mania who actually got some heat on them.
And let's be honest, this will probably be a pretty enjoyable match. Cena isn't terrible. Rusev was really good.
It was probably it was the second best match on the show.
Yeah, and as long as Cena doesn't throw any punches, I would probably enjoy this.
As long as he doesn't throw any punches.
Have you seen his punches? They're terrible.
Well, it's better than his SCF.
Well, at least he doesn't do the SCF during the whole match.
You never know.
Well, Cena is still capable of having really good matches. Some of my favorite matches over the past couple years, admittedly, have had John Cena in them. Even though he wasn't a big focus in the three-way at the Royal Rumble with Cena, Rollins, and Lesnar, that was still an amazing match, and he didn't take away from it. So I remain optimistic that this can be good. I mean, we didn't even think that Rusev would have a great match with Big E, and then he did. We were like, what? Okay. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Rusev, I have to say, and he's growing onto me just through this Cena feud, to be honest.
Well, I think even before that, for me, it was really his feud with Swagger, then when he kind of started to show that heart and guts and selling and stuff like that. So he has grown, and I think when he loses, he'll be okay. I mean, part of the thing with undefeated streaks especially is, like, he's not technically undefeated. He's just never been pinned or submitted or whatever. I mean, he lost the Survivor Series. He's been disqualified and counted out. So it's always weird when they kind of dance around that. But as long as they keep him strong, he doesn't need to be undefeated. Like, as long as he continues to dominate other people. And that's sometimes a problem they have. It's like, once the guy gets beaten, it's like, okay, we can do whatever. He can lose every other week now.
Yeah.
And I guess that brings us to our main event.
I think you forgot something.
What did I forget?
The women.
Oh, this is not on... Oh.
Give Divas a chance. You have to give them a chance.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. I forgot to give Divas a chance.
Well, and this is probably where the match is going to be slotted anyway, because I kind of like to go with kind of a roller coaster approach where you have a very intense match with probably Rusev and Cena, and then they'll level things out a little bit with the Divas match where people can kind of get their energy back. Not that I'm saying it's something that people ignore, but it's not as intense as these two matches will be.
Also, I have to say this AJ Lee Paige Bellas thing is, I don't know, it kind of sucks. Also, I don't think the Bellas are very good. Also, I often see people that, oh, but Nikki improved so much. No, she's still not good. And the whole Paige AJ frenemies thing is already getting on my nerves. We already have had that. It's over. Why is this happening again? And ugh.
But, I mean, it's something. I mean, of the rushes they have on their roster, I think this is probably the best pairing they could have done, especially being that they really, really kind of watered down the Paige and AJ feud last year.
You mean it
was horrendous.
You mean of the women they have on the main roster, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than what they would usually do, which is like a random, like a pillow fight or a mud wrestling, or what was it, actually, Miss WrestleMania? Where they just kind of, where they just throw a bunch of women in the ring and call
them. Yeah, that was the Divas Invitational Battle Royal. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Sadly, I remember it so well because they had a Total Divas episode about it, which is a great TV show.
It is great. I have not seen it. I have not seen this season.
You should. So. As soon as Paige gets into the show, it's actually, again, really fun.
And it was fun before. Like, it was already entertaining, but geez.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely an entertaining show. Don't take it too seriously and just enjoy it.
Yeah, and also don't pay attention to the timeline because the show events they
nope,
say.
Won't make any
never.
Sense.
Yep. It's fiction. It's not reality.
I am looking forward to this match, however, because I believe that it seems that in these past few weeks, they've been giving Divas more time. And I know that with more time, they can put on a better match than what we're used to. So hopefully they will be given enough time and they won't get cut. WrestleMania seems to have matches cut all the time, things like that, which is really depressing because it's such a long show. But hopefully they're given plenty of time to really tell some sort of story.
I mean, their match was cut last WrestleMania. So
not as, but the 29.
I'm pretty sure last one, it was cut as well. I mean, not completely cut, but cut short.
No, actually, it was the Battle Royal.
Oh, you're right. Fuck. What am I thinking of? There was some match that was cut short recently that was also kind of important. Some title match for the win.
I think if you're based on Total Divas, I think it was the TLC. I think it was the TLC match.
Oh god,
there
TLC
was one
was
match
really
that
bad.
Was over in like 30 seconds or something. When was that?
Oh, was that the Shield versus Kane and? No, that was the Shield versus. Yeah, Kane and the New Age Outlaws. That was short.
I'm thinking of a women's match. There was one that was over in like 30 seconds. I think Brie kissed someone or something.
Oh, yeah,
Brie
versus AJ
throwback.
At Survivor Series.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes,
that was apparently cut short.
Okay, now we are to the main event. Roman Reigns, the big dog, the juggernaut, the conqueror. The Alpha, the Omega, the Brahma Bull, the Stone Cold One, the Viper, the Venom, whatever his nickname is this week, versus the Beast Incarnate, and I can't even say Egg Paul, but Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
They just announced this is going to be a Brahma Bull rope match because they want to play Tug of War again.
No. Please, God, no. That was, they fought over that belt like two children, and
it
they looked
ridiculous.
Like children. Yeah, they, ugh. I'm sure whatever they had in their head looked better than what they showed us, because it looked horrendous.
Brock should have just clocked him into the head and went out with the belt. That would have been better.
Either one of them should have done that. Anyone.
Yeah, like, that's what I thought was going to happen. And then it was going to end in a brawl. But the thing that really kind of undercut this entire little segment for me was Paul Heyman literally just spent the last 5 minutes talking about how badass Roman Reigns is, how badass and destructive Brock Lesnar was, and the two finally get face-to-face, and they have a tug-of-war. Like a bunch of little kids.
Oh, even worse what happened before it, for me personally, in a way, when Brock, like, holds his belt up high, and you actually hear mostly cheers, and then Reigns does the same thing, and it was just boos.
Well, see, the thing with me with Roman Reigns right now, it's not necessarily that he gets boos, which, I mean, Cena does, it's that a lot of times he comes out and the crowd just goes mild. Like, there's not
either boos or indifference, and
yeah,
that's terrible for what is supposed to be your big new face.
Yeah, and I feel like that's been the problem with this WrestleMania, is that they've tried and tried and tried and tried everything to get him over at the detriment of anything else going on with this show. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, we mentioned that the original plan was Bryan versus Ziggler. They put that on hold so that they could do Bryan versus Reigns, so Reigns can get that one definitive match that people are going to make. Oh, he can wrestle now. Look, he can wrestle. And that didn't work. They had Bryan literally come out the next night and pretty much, he could have given the guy a hand job in the ring and it would have been less of a reach around. They've had Paul Heyman selling the virtues of Roman Reigns. And the thing is, it's a huge case of showing and of telling people and never showing them why everybody thinks he's this amazing athlete.
Yeah, I personally don't even think his match with Bryan was that great. It was kind of mediocre.
It was enjoyable. It was good. But even then, you'd need more than that in your resume, because he's not going to fight Bryan every night. He's not going to fight Rollins every night. He's not going to like, what is he going to do if he has to? I've seen his matches with Big Show.
Yeah,
I've seen his matches with Kane. That's not going to be enjoyable.
Exactly, and I don't think Lesnar's bad, but I don't think Lesnar is the kind of commander in the ring that can carry Reigns to a great match. Like,
what you're saying is that Lesnar is not good enough to make Reigns better than good enough. Like, he's not good enough to make Reigns good enough.
Would you disagree that Lesnar is not the kind of guy like Triple H or Bryan, or there are these kind of guys that can kind of get a great or good or great match out of basically anyone?
And I think Brock can, but Brock's style is pretty much tossing people around.
Exactly. And if that
Roman
happens,
is it known for his selling?
And if that happens, Brock just tossing around Reigns for 50 minutes, I would go out very happy. Because I don't think I can get enough of that. Reigns throwing people around through the ring.
It would be a great thing if they're planning on having Lesnar do a huge babyface run, which I think there's lots of money in that. And I think that that's where they're going to go. Hopefully, the only problem with that is that kills Roman Reigns dead in the water forever. Like, you'll never take him seriously again. And I don't think they want to do that.
See, here's my idea, and I mean, it could work, it couldn't, is that you have Brock kind of demolish him, and then you spend the next year kind of Rockying him, where he's going through, and he's starting from the bottom, and he's just trying to fight all of these people to get better, hone his skills, and try to climb the mountain again. And I think that would make an interesting story, because then you give people the journey that they wanted, instead of this journey that you kind of half-assed, where people are supposed to believe that he's some huge Samoan badass, when the guy was out for 3 months at the end of the last year because he pulled a hernia. Like, Daniel Bryan had a broken neck. That's the badass of these two.
Kinda. But on the other hand, we have a couple of issues with doing something like that. What do you do with Rollins, who still has the money in the bank, in that case? And can you have Brock basically carry the title around for another year?
No, you don't need to. You have Rollins use the case, steal the title, and then Lesnar doesn't have to have somebody who's bigger than The Undertaker defeat him, because he gets screwed out of his title. Lesnar goes into chase mode, and that can be a lot of fun through the whole summer, all the way up to the next year if you must. Rollins has shown that he's been a really good chicken shit, that he likes to escape situations, and it frustrates people, and they love it. So I think that's a great plan, and I think that's what they should go with.
But they won't. They're going to put it on Reigns.
No.
I think putting it on him is going to be a bigger anchor than anything else they can do with him. Because I think that once you kind of show that you can't hold the company, and right now I don't necessarily know what the WWE sees in him on a traditional level, because as far as I can tell, him in the third hour of Raw has usually just not done well for the ratings at all. And as far I was hearing reports that he still doesn't headline house shows, like he's still like fifth from the top. So I don't know. Like, they've tried. Like, he has so many obvious weaknesses. They try to keep him from speaking as often as possible. He usually gets into the ring, he says two words, and then somebody cuts him off. They hide him in matches. He's either in really short matches, or he doesn't, or he wrestles somebody like Daniel Bryan.
Mm.
So yeah. They know his weaknesses, but you can cover weaknesses, but if not, if your weaknesses is you can't wrestle, you can't speak, and you don't connect to the fans, because what's your strength?
I mean, you're good? Saying he can't wrestle is probably too strong. I mean, he's decent.
Okay, I think somebody said this, and I think he can't wrestle at the level that we expect of WWE main eventers over the past, let's say, 15. Since Bret and Shawn, you kind of expect, like, Hogan couldn't wrestle. Hogan had some few basic moves, but Hogan had charisma up his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But if you can't cut the promo Hogan cuts, you have to be better at the wrestling part.
Yeah. And you had Bret, you had Shawn, you had Austin, you had Rock. And, you know, Rock was limited, but he has charisma to carry his matches. Triple H, John Cena, for people who hate, has a tremendous amount of wrestling abilities. He has a limited moveset, but he knows how to make, okay, he can't sell well, but he can wrestle.
Yeah.
You had Eddie, you had Kurt, you have Ryan's, you had Edge, you have Taker. All these people have elevated what it means to be the top dog in the WWE. And right now, like, you can't even give Ryan's like that Goldberg push where he comes in, he spears and Superman punches people, because you conditioned your audience not to expect short main events anymore.
Yeah, true. But so, what do we actually expect to happen? Because we just also learned that apparently Lesnar's going to stay with the company. So,
for many, many years.
Does he retain or not?
Sure, absolutely.
I honestly don't think either one of them. I expect, if any, I could see Rollins even the Mania with the title.
You see Rollins?
Yes.
So he's cashing in at Mania.
I think that'll happen too.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the fact that his briefcase is almost up. I think he has like 3 months on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that you can give him, and you put, if you, you can have Roman beat Lesnar and then have it cashed in on him right away, and you kind of make him a sympathetic babyface, hopefully.
I think that'll make Rollins a babyface, which
yeah,
is
that's
not
the
what
problem.
You want to do.
It's the same thing that kind of happened with Del Rio and Ziggler, where people were just kind of tired of Del Rio, so when Ziggler cashed in, he became a huge babyface.
Yeah, and nobody, I mean, you have to have Rollins cashing in against Lesnar. That's the only way the heel thing will work for him. It's just got to happen. I don't know if it's going to be the night after WrestleMania, because that's also a really great night to do that and to set that in motion. It could be that Lesnar retains and everything is clean at WrestleMania, and then the night after on Raw, that's when he gets screwed out of it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, personally, I still think they will, as they have shown in the last couple of months, just stick to the guns and put the thing on Reigns, but I'm with Sonny and kind of hope that Lesnar will retain.
Well, I see. Like I said, I think if they put it on him, that's going to be his anchor. Like, you can't recover. Or, I mean, I guess you can if the WWE forces it. But, I mean, there's a reason they ever put the title back on Diesel. I mean, part of it was because he left the company. But Diesel, and I think people mentioned this when Diesel went into the Hall of Fame, Diesel is the perfect parallel. He's a person who worked with a more popular wrestler, kind of got over because he had to look at Vince Sykes, became the champion, and then business just bottomed out.
Yeah. I mean, they...
And Diesel was a better wrestler
than Ray. They even had, like, this video package on last night on Raw, right? When they basically retold the story, I mean, without the business part. But what did he say? I think it was like him becoming the Triple Crown champion basically in like 9 months or something.
Yeah, he pretty much won everything in his rookie year.
Yeah,
and then it was like he had to carry, and I mean part of it was they didn't have the type of competition, you know, like they had Bret and they had Shawn, but Shawn wasn't the main event and Bret couldn't become the champion, so he had
so
feuds
Shawn
with,
was on drugs.
Well, I mean
lots of them. Probably. Allegedly.
Allegedly. But yes, I'm really kind of curious. I think this wrinkle of Lesnar resigning does make it a lot more interesting to see, because they can keep it on Lesnar, and they could probably keep him with the title until SummerSlam. I would, you know, if they wanted to, they could even have Rollins try to cash in on Lesnar and Lesnar just destroy him and turning him into a massive babyface.
Hmm.
Yep. I think, I mean, I don't think, I think it's going to just be the summer of Brock, and he's going to sell a ton of t-shirts because everyone's going to be behind him, and it will be clear that the company is behind him. I think that's the route it's going to go.
It would be a great thing to see. That might actually get me to genuinely watch WWE again if they go that route. At least for the Lesnar stuff.
Well, and on top of that, they mentioned wanting to elevate the Intercontinental title, which they definitely need to do. And the best way to do that is to keep the heavyweight title away, which Brock Lesnar has shown he's very capable of staying away from Raw. Not a problem.
Yeah.
So keep that away. Focus on the titles that you do have there. Make them important again if you can. And hopefully everything just takes care of itself.
Yeah, yeah, the problem with that, though, is they've had that opportunity since SummerSlam, and they haven't.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So, like, again, it sounds great on paper, and I completely agree with you folks. If the WWE was a logical company, that sounds great, but they've had the opportunity for the past 6 months or so to elevate the IC title, to elevate the US title, because Brock has defended the world title twice. Since then, since SummerSlam, and they haven't done that.
I mean, they kind of at least elevated the U.S. title, I would say, right?
Have they? Or has it just been elevated because it's on Rusev, who hasn't lost? Like, it's,
well,
like,
yeah, isn't that kind of elevating it?
No, because it just kind of becomes like an accessory for him. He walks around with it.
Hmm. I mean, okay, that's also what Ambrose did, but at least Rusev is fighting for it, unlike Ambrose.
But I mean, he's not even fighting for, it's not even become a thing like, haha, I'm a Russian with the U.S. title. Like, that's not even been his story. It's just, oh, I have this vanity belt with me.
Hmm.
Like, I agree with you. Rusev having it has, it hasn't elevated it, but it's helped it not sink any lower than it could have been. Because he's been a winning champion, which is something they have a problem with, is a champion who wins matches both in title and non-title matches.
Also, they should just really unify the U.S. and the Intercontinental title, but I think that's another discussion.
I think so. Though, I mean, it also depends. Like, maybe if they're serious about reinvigorating SmackDown's image, they have, like, the IC title become the title of SmackDown, which is kind of what this feud has been, and then have the U.S. title become the title of Raw, and then you can have Brock show up. Because I actually think it's been refreshing to have a world title that isn't on the show every week, because it makes it feel special when the champions are around.
Oh, yeah. It kind of harkens back to the old days, right? I mean, Hogan wasn't around all the time when he was the champion.
Even in New Generation, when Bret Hart was the champion, he wasn't on every Raw, and I thought that was weird when I went back and started watching some of those Raws. I was like, the champion's not even here, but it was fine. They had other stories to tell, so hopefully these other stories get more time.
Yeah, I mean, what story does the champion really need?
The story
of a champion is usually just someone else wants my belt, and my belt is important because it's the biggest belt.
And I've always thought that, and you know, title defenses are important, but I think just as important, and this is something WCW used to do really well, is having people who really, really, really want that title. So a number one contendership match can easily headline a pay-per-view if you build it up well, because then it's about people fighting for something.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
How do we feel about this WrestleMania now, overall, now that we discussed it? I'm still not super excited for it, but now that I talked over with you with over a couple of the matches, I can see, like, I will probably enjoy the ladder thing. I will probably enjoy Sting versus Triple H, probably the Cena match, and I don't know, depending on what Lesnar gets to do with Reigns, I might enjoy that as well.
I've said before, I think this WrestleMania looks good on paper, but I don't want it to be a situation, and this has happened in the past before, where it's an either or. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, you can get a good build up, or you can have a good. Like, why can't I have a good pay per view with a great build up? Like, this has felt like any other pay per view that WWE does. And this is supposed to be their show. This is supposed to be the show of the year. And they don't make it feel special. And part of it is because half of their matches hasn't been on the show, which is unfortunate, but it's a decision they made.
True.
So yes, I'll watch WrestleMania, because I've watched almost every WrestleMania that I could since I've been able to order pay-per-views, since that's a weird ad. And there are some bad ones, but for the most part, they have always been enjoyable shows to me live. And I can't see me breaking that tradition. If I continue watching beyond that, is anybody's guess.
Yeah. Sonny?
I am excited for this WrestleMania on paper. Like you mentioned, the build's not so good, but all that can be wiped away with an incredible show. I think they want it. I don't think they can top WrestleMania 30, but I also don't think that's really a big deal. They don't need to. I think it's interesting enough that Brock Lesnar's sticking around. I think that the undercard actually looks pretty solid, and honestly, for $10, I'm excited to watch that. $10 is such a small investment. If we were talking
$60,
like
spent
usual,
$59.99.
Yeah,
oh, you mean like technically me, because we still don't have the network in Germany.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but I will certainly be watching it as it happens, and it's going to be fun. That's really what it is. Plus, it also sets everything in motion for what's going to happen over the rest of the year for the most part. So I'm looking forward to what they have planned, because they have a really good crop of wrestlers right now. There's and a lot more that are waiting to debut. Last year, Paige debuted on the Raw after WrestleMania. I'm curious if anyone else from NXT will debut, not just in the Battle Royal like we discussed earlier, but on the roster in earnest. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm still hoping like that they just bring up Finn, because he's ready. He's as ready as he ever be.
Oh, just as an aside, I'm sure you folks have heard about this. I'm really kind of curious to see Triple H's Terminator entrance.
Yes.
Yes. I hope it's really dumb.
I can imagine some amazing entrances at WrestleMania this year between Undertaker, Sting, Triple H.
I also hope Rusev gets something really stupid.
Cena has had some interesting ones. He has. Cena has the more... cinematic ones, I guess. Like the car driving and the C Nation and stuff like that. That's always been kind of fun. Like he doesn't have the big bombastic ones like Undertaker and Shawn Michaels got.
Yeah, I just imagine like Rusev. That's totally not going to happen. Like Rusev coming in with a Russian tank or something. That would be amazing.
If anything, I can kind of see like him being escorted by like a Russian serviceman or something like that.
Yeah. What about Lana, by the way? Will she be back for WrestleMania? Or?
I think so, because she's filming a movie right now, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, but I don't know if she will be back for WrestleMania. She should be. Would be a shame if she wasn't.
Yeah, especially since she seems to be really over with the fans.
Yeah.
But I think that's that for us this week. I mean, well, not this week, this year. This was fun. Hopefully we can do it again for SummerSlam or something like that.
Yeah.
But I want to thank Martin and our good friend Sunflower. WrestleMania is this weekend, March 29th, $9.99 on the WWE Network. Cancel any time, as Michael Cole would say. Why pay $59.99 when you can stream for just $9.99?
Unlimited.